The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
Hello, and welcome to the She Word Mums, conversations mums rarely have, but really should. I am your host, Nerissa Massa. The aim of this podcast has always been about keeping it real. The stuff we usually keep to ourselves, we are going to talk about here. And today, we are diving into something big. It is something that many mums feel, but are ashamed to admit. Mum rage. Yep, that sudden, intense anger that seems to come out of nowhere. It's not just snapping or being a bit cranky. Mum rage can feel like a tidal wave, completely overwhelming, and honestly, a little scary. And if you've ever yelled louder than you meant to, slammed the cupboard shut, or had to hide in the bathroom just to breathe, you're so not alone. And while it's often kept behind closed doors, it is incredibly normal. The truth is, this is way more common than people think. Studies show that a huge number of mums, up to 60%, experience strong bursts of anger during the early years of parenting. But most of us don't talk about it because we're scared it makes us a bad mum. Spoiler alert, it doesn't. You're not broken, you're not alone, and you're definitely not the only one. The terminology around mum rage is relatively new, gaining traction in the late 2010s and early 2020s. However, the experience is most definitely not. The rise in awareness coincided with increased discussions about the maternal mental health and the challenges of modern parenting. In today's show, I not only want to explore this topic, but also try to find tips and methods that will help us mums the next time we feel that bubbling rage inside of us. I felt it was really important to have guests on the show who spoke their truth, who are happy to sit around this table and bring normalization to a topic often avoided by other mums. And so I am thrilled, not happy, not excited, but thrilled to have these three mums sitting around me today. Emma Hogg, I'm going to start with you, a psychotherapist, life coach, and mum to Archie. Oh. Emma's not a newbie to the She Word, and I just had to have her on this show because of how authentic she is, but also to help us identify and understand a little bit more about what mum rage is and why we experience it. Hi, Emma.
Hi, and thank you for
being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we've got so much to talk about, and I'll come to you in just a minute to maybe like fill in some of the gaps that I may have missed about you. My next guest is Danita Camilleri. Danita is a content creator, shall we call you that, instead of influencer?
Yes.
A content creator known more as One Chick and a Yorkie, also a mum to Lenny, who is 5, and has been open multiple times on her Instagram account about sometimes losing it with her child. Danita has been on the She Word before, but this is her first time on the She Word Mums.
Yes,
thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me as well.
You're very welcome. I honestly had to have both of these ladies who I've seen on the She Word before on the Mums show because I just know how honest they are. And finally, our last guest is a complete newbie to the She Word. And I'm so excited that she's on the Mums show because I have been fangirling her since she first stepped onto our screens on Liz Fida back in maybe around 2005. And I have followed her career ever since. Maria Buckle is an actress and a mum of two girls and is as genuine as they come. Maria, how are you?
Hi, I'm very excited to be here today. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. Tell us a bit more about you. What have I missed?
I used to work as a notary, as you know, when I decided to go and dive into theatre and all things acting and drama and all of that. So I'm doing that whilst also being a mother in the calmest way
sure.
I can try to two girls who are 10 and 7 years old.
Brilliant. Emma, what have I missed about you?
I think you gave me a very good introduction. I don't know, maybe that I love to bake, I'm obsessed with spinning. I don't know, I think that's all really.
Danita, have I missed anything?
I don't think so because my life is all online.
You can just head over.
whatever I have missed, you can just go on your Instagram. Brilliant. So I'm so excited and I want to kind of dive in head first. So maybe around some definitions. This show is called Mum Rage, and the word rage is different to anger. Mum rage is defined, and I will quote, as intense emotional response to the pressures, exhaustion, and mental load of motherhood. I'm going to start with the very obvious. Is this something you can relate to?
Definitely, in my case. Yes, I do agree. It's an intense emotional response. And I do think in my case, when it hits, you're kind of feel it bubbling up. And it's I very much think of myself as Hulk. because it's literally that kind of. So yes, that's my story on Mum Rage.
And I explain it to myself as an adult tantrum.
Yeah.
Because you just see black and you just lose it, hey?
Yeah. So I'm not going to lie, I'm a bit nervous about this show.
Ooh.
And the reason that I'm nervous is because, so I think that I could relate to Mum Rage a bit more in the first year of my son's life, where I was kind of like still adjusting. And the rage would come out towards my husband. So I think I'd say it's wife rage, but related to motherhood. But since then, I have moments of anger for sure. But I can't say I go to rage. And so I'm nervous because I don't want to come across as though like I've got it all figured out. I don't. Also, I have one child, not two, not three. And I've been in self-development for years and years and years and years and years. So I've had a lot of practice, a lot of mentors who have challenged me to see like my stuff. So,
but do you think that you feel it and you don't let yourself get to that level of rage, or you just don't get the feeling of being very angry?
No, I feel anger for sure. Like, and I think anger is one of the it's the sort of, if we want to call it negative, it's not negative because it's an amazing emotion. It lets us know we need to put down a boundary. It's probably like I go to anger faster than I go to sadness, for example. Sadness makes me feel very vulnerable. And as a person who likes to be in control, anger is my go-to. Anger is like rocket fuel, you know. You feel the illusion is we can get shit done, like on anger, not so much with sadness. But so I definitely feel it. I think the difference is just that it comes out of me sometimes. Don't get me wrong. Like the other day, I noticed I was irritated about something and I could like see myself being shorter with my son. But it's like when you practice self-development for a long time, you sort of develop almost like a meta way of looking at yourself. And so you kind of like see yourself in the moment and you're going like, it's not about him, like sort of chill out, take some breaths, take a step back kind of thing. So I can't say that I get to that point of rage, but I definitely have in the past. And I've definitely done it with my family, with my husband, but I think I've done it so many times and felt that, shit, man, it really didn't lead anywhere good. It's been such an ouch every time that I am learning, and I have learned a lot, to take a different approach.
Life is never plain sailing, but your period is one challenge that shouldn't ever stop you or stand in your way. Tampax is the number one combination for comfort, protection, and discretion. Tampax tampons are independently tested, so you can be certain that there's no harmful substances present. Tampax adapts to your unique body shape to provide you protection even when you're living life to the full. Because nothing should stop you, period.
So I'm nervous because I don't want to come across condescending. And I know that it can come across that way. And I don't mean it that way at all.
But I think the reason you're on the show is you have the experience of being a mom, but you also have your professional background, which is what has led you so nicely to avoid perhaps situations we find ourselves in. I liked when you said you have this meta view, this like 300,000 foot above ground view of yourself, which I think we all do, but we still can't make it stop when it hits us. And I think maybe your role on the show is to kind of
help us.
Hey, no, look, we're normalizing. We're normalizing this
when it comes to us.
We are normalizing this, but also let's help ourselves not get past it, because let's be honest, this show isn't therapy, but let's understand that there are things you can do to lower that rage or to control that rage.
I'm lucky because when I was doing my training as a psychotherapist, I had anger issues, you can call them. Like I was angry. I was very angry. And so I had the opportunity to work really intensely on my anger. So I was lucky in that I had done so much work before becoming a mother. That helped.
For sure. I want to pick on something you said and also direct it to the table. You said I had rage more so in Archie's first year of life. And then you also said, but I also don't have two or three kids. So do you think mum rage changes over the course of your child's life or increases or decreases the more children you have?
I think it's the person, the situation, the person, the type of relationship you have with your husband. It depends on the character that your husband is and you are. I think it's not specific.
I think there's so many factors that come into it. Like, okay, for me, it was the same during, it was not the same actually. The first year of my first child's life was relatively calm. I used to get annoyed because I was sleep deprived, but that's not rage. But then, I actually felt that as they grew older and the challenges maybe not, well, there were more challenges with two, I have to say, in my case, because then there are people who have five kids and it's a breeze, but I'm not one of those people. I was more tired and I had less patience. And there are a lot of other factors where my life wasn't always, you know, without any stress or everything was going my way. So there's a lot of things that, tiny little things that are trivial on their own, but when they add up, then you just take it out on the world or on whoever is standing in front of you at that moment in time, even if it's not their fault, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, I don't know. This is what happens to me. And to say something about what you said, which I think we all see ourselves. I sometimes see myself in that moment.
Just one.
In the third person, like I'll be looking out and I know I'm saying, you need to move away because you're going to lose it. But I think the difference is that I don't always manage. So there are times when I manage to make my coffee and leave the room and say, I'm just going to, you know, pull myself out of this equation because this is going to lead to me losing it. Yeah. But there are other times where I'm already past that stage and I don't manage to pull myself out in time.
But, yes, I understand.
Sometimes I say it to myself not to feel the guilt, but after having that rage moment, I think that would be the point where my son really understands that he doesn't have to do it again.
Oh,
okay. I don't know if I'm being on the wrong. I don't know. Maybe you can tell us. But when I go to that rage moment, that's when my son really
gets it.
So I think, do we need to do it or it's totally not acceptable?
Like, so what you're confusing. Saying, and I get exactly what you're saying, because sometimes you try the gentle parenting approach, you know, give them options, understand their frustrations, empathize, and then still nothing gets done. Then you raise your voice, you lose your, and I can say this, shit.
Yeah.
And they then bang. He gets it.
But it happens. I think about that as well. I say, sometimes. He needs it. But sometimes, because sometimes the same thing happens. And it also, again, a lot of factors, because the kids have their own days as well. You know, if they're having a bad day, and me gentle parenting them, which I very rarely manage to do, but speaking to them and giving them options and having a discussion, on one day it's going to be amazing and work if my kids are in a good mood and they want to cooperate. But if they say, you know, I'm just going to make her cry, then me giving them options will run out at some point. And then I say, did I have to get to that point for them to understand it?
I don't love this term, gentle parenting. I think that it can be, I mean, maybe I don't understand it enough, but I think it can be dangerous when we're too anything goes with our kids. Sure. Yeah. Because then you create a very unsafe environment for the children
and
where they feel anxious.
As well, yes. Because it's not the real life that is always calm. And
we need to have boundaries, and I do raise my voice with my kid, as in not like screaming, but I will like speak more, like this is not okay. And also I'm not into like gentle parenting, be super like, you know, anything goes. In fact, if you look into the research, so there are like these different types of parenting, right? There's loving and permissive, there's loving and firm, there's hostile and permissive, there's hostile and firm. Mm-hmm. And they all lead to different outcomes. What we're talking about now, like where like anything goes, is loving and permissive. So I love you, I'm your biggest fan, and I don't give you any boundaries. Like you have no consequences. You're raising a kid who is not going to understand responsibility, consequences, is not going to be able to manage their money, is not going to be able to manage their health, is not going to be able to keep relationships, hold down a job. It's going to be a disaster. The healthiest form of parenting is loving and firm. Kids need to have boundaries.
Absolutely.
They need to know what is not okay. But it won't be from this like losing space.
And thinking about it now, because we've all felt some form of rage, and sometimes, I don't know if this has happened to you, it just comes out of nowhere. Yeah. So you're calm, bang. And I wonder in hindsight, you say, that wasn't really the child. That was because I argued with my husband this morning. Exactly. That was because mum pissed me off on the phone.
Exactly.
How much of the rage do we let out on kids, which is actually mental load, lack of support, exhaustion?
For me, now I understand myself more, because we get patterns. Hormonal.
Yes.
And stress. So if I have a load of work that I'm stressing a lot about, I tend to get to the rage, because my son does the same things for a whole month. Mm-hmm. But then he does a little bit of what he usually does, and you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's not the child that's being arrogant or naughty. It's just us that we are stressing.
I see the difference, because sometimes it does come out of nowhere and sometimes it builds. But I realize, so when it's the child that's triggering me, who's getting on my nerves, as much as I love them and I will lay my life down for them.
Yes, but you love them and they are super triggering. No triggers, yes, for sure.
But I realize when I'm about to lose it, because of them, I am able to give them warnings. I'm able to tell them, you are pissing me off.
Mm.
Stop it. Because you know that if you keep pissing me off, I am going to get angry. Yeah. And I lose it. I feel less guilty, because I've warned you now. When I lose it out of nowhere, that is when I know that it's not their fault.
Mm.
But I've taken out my anger about something else.
Mm-hmm.
On them, because they were an easy target, I guess. Because they were not an easy target. Well, yes, I guess.
But that's really good honesty. Yes, it's safe. You wouldn't do it with your boss. You wouldn't do it with a client. Like, you know, it's safe to do it with them.
But then following that, and I think I will give them warnings, even if I'm stressed, like you said, I will say, listen, I am really stressed today, so I'm running low on patience. Could you please be patient with me? Mm. And I find that when I take the time when I realize, because sometimes I don't have the insight to myself, I find out. But when I'm in that space where I can say, Ma, I'm going to lose it today if I'm not careful. And when I have that moment where I tell them, listen, guys, Mommy today is super stressed.
Yes.
You know, if you annoy me, I might take it out on you. Please forgive that. So please try to cooperate with me as much as possible.
Yes. And I feel like they work with you. They the meaning. Because if you're just like shouting and they have no meaning, they don't understand it. They internalize it as there's something wrong with me.
I feel that when you give him a sort of responsibility,
yeah,
that you're trusting them, that they can be patient with you, they'll be more...
Yes, and it really works. I mean, mine are a bit older, so they can... But even when they see me stressed, they kind of realize that, okay, let's try to help... And they try to help mommy out by making me a coffee and getting out 57 cups to make me... But I kind of, you know... You say, okay, they're trying to understand. So we also have to give some credit to them as well, but... I think also be kind to ourselves that we're dealing. Am I excusing myself when I say, like, sometimes I say, but I'm dealing with so much. Like,
this is really funny because of my job, people look at me and they're like, is this right? Is this wrong?
Yeah, don't be like,
please tell me.
And this is why I told you I'm nervous, because then people look at me and they're just so judgmental. And it's like, no, like, actually, like, I'm not.
What was your question, right?
Sometimes I do say, you know what? I was right to get angry. They weren't cooperating. And then I say, but they are kids. You are the grown up. But they need to understand. There needs to be boundaries. This is all, you know.
To make them understand, maybe it's not good to shout every day, obviously. But I think there is those moments where obviously, not when we are stressed, then the kids have done nothing. But if they past your line that...
But we can discipline them. I am all for discipline. There is nothing that will make me not discipline my kids. Even if they tell me, ABC hit me, I will ask, why?
Exactly.
What did you do first?
Of course, yeah.
You know? But there, I feel, and this is a criticism to myself, I can discipline them. And most of the time I manage. But when it goes to rage, all I do is scare them.
Yes, true. Exactly.
So, yes, they get to the stage then where they say, ah, okay, Mala. But when I manage to be angry and discipline them and explain...
You feel the difference in your...
And I'm not that... I don't feel guilty because after rage, there is guilt.
Yes, I want to come on to that actually, because we do feel all of this rage... But what does it lead to? There's no solution.
No. But that's the beauty of emotions. Because emotions are really just letting us know, like, they're our thermostat, you know, letting us know, like, where we are in the environment. So anger, which comes before rage, right? Anger is saying, I'm not okay with this. This is not okay for me. So it's letting you know, put down a boundary here. Put down a boundary. And sometimes we ignore it. We ignore it. I mean, if you think about the societal conditioning around motherhood, we're supposed to be like these all loving, perfect, always there, always, you
jumping
know, like
through meadows,
exactly, like playful, joyful, like all of the pressures and stuff. And in this day and age, we're also supposed to be earning money,
yes.
Right? And contributing to the fact the expectations are so unrealistic and so ridiculous. So a lot of the time, we end up ignoring those little cues within us that's saying, I don't like this. This is not okay for me. I'm not okay with this. You know, I'm not okay that I'm working from 9 till 5 and then I come home and I'm supposed to do housework and cook and somehow be compassionate with my kids. Like, how the F? Like, it's not possible. So if we are ignoring those cues, like that build up, eventually, yes, you're going to explode. So anger really is that, you know, warning signal. And then guilt comes in as a course corrector. guilt's an amazing emotion, and guilt is a part of discipline as well. You don't want human beings who don't experience guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You end up with psychopaths everywhere. You know, guilt is great. So it comes in to tell us, like, that wasn't great. You know, that was out of alignment with my values. So it's good that we experience guilt after we lose it, because like you said, it didn't feel good as a discipline reaction. It wasn't great. It just scared my kids, and right? It broke trust, actually. And then we have to go and we need to repair it.
Build it. Yep.
And the repair is vital in dynamics. Kids don't need parents who never lose it or who are perfect. They need parents who own responsibility for their actions.
We're coming to repair.
That's what we're coming to repair. Say, but that it makes a difference what you do after.
Yes.
You have a rage.
Yes.
Because if you say sorry.
Yes.
And if you say, I tell him why I went to that point of rage.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a difference.
Yeah. Yes, but also, if you don't mind me saying, it's
yes, of course.
Sorry, and I do my best to not do it again, right? It's like I don't like this sort of I say sorry and then I'm doing it again tomorrow and I say sorry.
Because
in some family dynamics, that's okay, right?
Yeah.
And it's
but
it's
obviously
not.
we know, because the first time I lost it like that, I will never lose it like that again.
Sure.
Now what I do again, my kids are 10 and 7, so maybe I can discuss in a different way with them. But I don't know, maybe I don't actually, maybe I underestimate younger kids, I don't know. But I will tell my daughter if I've been angry at her, and I will tell her, listen, I'm sorry I was angry. I was right to be angry because you weren't cooperating, I had a really stressful day and I took it out on you, or I shouldn't have been that angry. But then I say, and this is not to say I'm a perfect parent, I am far from it, but just 1% of my parenting, sometimes I get right. And I tell him, what can you do to help me not get angry? And what can I do to help you cooperate? Because ultimately we know that if we're going to say sorry and the cycle is just going to keep repeating itself, you know, we have to correct it. Am I making sense?
Yeah, totally.
If we don't
what you're
it
saying
again.
Is finding solutions together.
But if we don't do it again, it's not real either. Because if we don't do it again, then we'll become perfect parents, which no one is, right?
So it's interesting what you're saying, because it's kind of like if I'm addicted to cigarettes and I say, I'm not going to smoke ever again, but I haven't understood the dynamics that lead me to the cigarette in the first place, then I'm just going to keep smoking.
Can I stop you there? Because you've just exactly hit what I want to go back to. So we all have said we feel mum rage. And then we've also said sometimes it's not the children that trigger us, it's the stress. Da, 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 da. But do we have specific triggers to it? So, you know, Maria, you were talking about speaking with your kids, saying, I've had a stressful day, will you please cooperate? And that works. I have a 15-month-old. Mm. She won't cooperate even if I speak to her very nicely. So for her, I know nowadays my trigger is her crying. Which is not helpful.
Crying,
because she's a baby.
Crying or whining?
Whining. Obviously, if she's crying because she's upset, that no. But the whinging, the constant. And she's a girl and she loves to whinge. I find that is a trigger.
For sure.
But in this day and age where we are trying to juggle a million and one things, and then on top of that, social media is showing us these amazing mothers. Is that adding to the pressure that then makes us lose it in the first place?
In my case, I would say for sure. In fact, I've stopped listening to how to make your kids happy and how to raise the perfect child. Because it's, for me, it sets so many expectations. And, you know, I say, I'm doing my best. Now I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to fail.
I think there is no right
or
wrong.
So many, you know. And sometimes, as you are saying, like if you have a 15-month-old, you can't sit her down and say, listen.
No, of course not. Yeah.
So I would say, pull yourself out of the equation. Yes, in an ideal world, but
sometimes you can't
always do that.
Yeah. But you put the 15-month-old
you
know, if you
can't
want to.
Always.
The younger they are, the harder it is.
Of
you're
course.
Sleep deprived, you're
of
up
course.
In the middle of the
exhausted.
Night. Sometimes you're losing it. Your husband didn't even notice the baby cried. It's like, why is it
of
always
course.
Me? You have
and
a meeting in the morning. It's
and you don't
like
know why
they're
Yeah. For me, it was the opposite of what you're saying, I think. When he was younger, I used to handle it. Mm-hmm. Because I used to say, he's a baby, he doesn't know, and he doesn't understand. Mm. But now that he knows, obviously, he's 5, so he understands more. Oh. And he constantly keeps saying no to something that I don't accept.
You're expecting a bit more from him.
For me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so interesting, though, because I think we all have different triggers. So, for example, I know sleep deprivation for me is a killer. Mm-hmm. I become a very depressive person. I wake up in the morning and I think the world looks horrible.
For example, when he was younger, like your age or your daughter's age, I used to accept that I'm not sleeping because I knew that I cannot sleep. Mm. When we started to try to make the transition to his bedroom, and he doesn't want to go to his bedroom, even now he's 5, I found it really horrible to wake up at night and to keep up with the day when you didn't sleep enough. So,
but I think that's also, I think, and Emma, I feel like we're just going to ask
yeah,
the
Emma.
Does mum rage also align to expectations?
For sure.
You know, you always have this expectations. He's 5, he should sleep in his own room. She's 3 months. Of course she's not going to sleep in her own room. Of course she's going to wake up 6 times in the night. So you handle it because there's the expectation. But then when you lose it, you've got this expectations. You come home from work, they're going to sit down, have dinner, do bath, and then do bed. When they're running feral around the house, that's out of line with your expectation.
Exactly.
So how does that...
You nailed it. I mean, it's... Kids need time, they need slowness, they need to play, they need to be messy, cheeky, chaotic, everything. And, you know, in this day and age where the majority of us are also working, it's, and you have like this limited amount of time to come home, you know, feed them, get them into the shower, so on and so forth. They don't cooperate.
And kids are different as well. They are not all the same. So
exactly.
What... your daughter does, mine doesn't. So
yes, and what you're saying is there's different ways of relating with each of them, and the thing is that the less time we spend with children, the less they cooperate with us.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting, and that brings me to then my other question. It's I probably think mum rage has existed. Well, at least I've seen my mom experience mum rage.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder the effect that has on then our parenting, because this is all generation, right? We parent to a certain extent the way our mothers parented us. So mum rage has been around for years and years, if not centuries or millennia. But what's the difference between mum rage then and mum rage now? Was it met with the same shame, you know, or was it more accepted?
I think so. Yes.
I think it was more accepted.
Yes,
I think nowadays there's more romanticism laced into our relationships with our kids, in the same way that we've got this like, oh, our romantic relationships are supposed to be really like easy and fulfilling. I think we've put it into our relationship with our kids as well, that it's supposed to be like this sort of like almost like a best friend experience, and it's supposed to be amazing. Whereas in the past, having kids, I think I could be wrong, was more of a practical thing. Like,
but
yeah, of course, sometimes your kids are going to piss you off.
That
right?
In the past, they used to upbring their kids as a whole village.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's another thing.
So all mothers used to upbring their I'm taking care of your son whilst you're taking care of mine. So maybe the mum rage was so commonly seen.
And I think
now
also,
we're private about it.
And also they felt more supported.
Yes.
So maybe it wasn't as big a deal.
Exactly.
You know?
No, I think also it was different because I don't know about, but I used to go out in summer as young as 8, 9, go out in the street alone with my friends, exactly, run around. So my mom had a really good break for me. Yeah, exactly. No, but that's, you know, and also we are, everything is thrown at us, information here, how to do this. They had none of that.
Yes.
So they had no, they had no expectations, but
yes,
maybe we are expected to achieve more.
Yes.
You know, and there's also, we're under a lens all the time, I feel.
And also sometimes we don't trust our gut intuition because there's all of this information. So it's like, ah, yes, the wake windows and baby's supposed to sleep for this much and da, 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 da. And we're trying to like do what kind of the thought.
Someone said, based. What someone said, basically, not
exactly, rather than tuning in with our kid, how I feel, what's happening. It's like we've lost this sort of intuition, feeling, flow state.
Mm. Maybe we're thinking too much.
Yes, exactly. I think so. And as we're saying, so we are told, co-sleeping. You shouldn't co-sleep because of this, this and that. Yes, in an ideal world, I wouldn't. But when my kids were newborns or even older than newborns, I got to a point where I was so sleep deprived. I was angry at everything, yes, and everyone. Yes. And I wasn't being the best mother. Billy, okay, they didn't sleep with me. Mm-hmm. But I screamed at them for the rest of the day. What good is that? You know, yeah. Mala, for me, that doesn't work.
Yes.
And until we are honest enough with ourselves to say, that's a great rule, but it doesn't work for me.
Exactly. Oh, I love sleeping with my kid.
You know, it's
I love it. Like,
husband
so
was
nice.
Just went abroad, and my girls were like, "We're having a sleepover in your bed," and it was the greatest feeling. You know, so it was just.
And I think as well, mothers should have time for a hobby, for a coffee with friends. Okay. I think that helps. As
for
well.
Sure, for yeah. sure. You know.
A bit of time.
A bit of time away from the kids.
You know,
yeah. And like also friends you can speak to.
Exactly.
Who can relate.
Like I found like in that first year, yeah, it's such a mind, you lose yourself, you know, kind of. It's such a shock. You don't know what's coming.
It is.
And I remember I used to experience rage. Towards my husband, like I said earlier, but it used to help me to understand, to when I'd process it and then I'd realize, wait a second, you sort of stepped in. Also, at the time, I was running a business. You stepped in as like, I'm going to do everything, kind of like all of these expectations of how a mother should be. And I sort of, my husband's a great dad. At the beginning, I sort of just kind of let him continue his life. And so there was this like, wait a second, how come I can't even go out and have a coffee and you're like living your... And it helped me, this anger, to advocate for myself.
Okay.
And to reestablish like the balance kind of thing. And don't get me wrong, we are not a 50-50 household. Like I call him my Sue parent, you know, like sous chef. Sometimes he gets annoyed, like kind of, how come you tell me like what to do? I'm like, because I'm the boss when it comes to parenting and you're the boss when it comes to other stuff. Okay, but like, let's just... But anyway, he's a great dad and we have our different skills. We're not 50-50, but like, you know, kind of one afternoon a week, he picks up my son from school and
help.
Like I can work and like I go to the gym and I, but that would never have happened had I not listened to that anger, honored that anger and advocated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's another thing which for me led to mum rage, which was the asking for help. Because when you feel it's all on you because you need to be this perfect mum, you get tired.
Yeah.
And then you build, with the rage, you build the resentment.
Exactly.
You know, you look at your other half and you're like,
I don't like you anymore.
He's 50% you too, you know. Yeah. And get it, you know, you're contributing to the family. Fantastic. Thank you so much. But you have a 9-to-5 or whatever traditional job. I have a 24/7. And the rage comes from, and correct me if I'm wrong, Karen, also not looking after yourself.
Yes.
And the main problem, I think, is that we are women and we have mother instincts, which husbands don't, I think.
Exactly.
You have to ask.
Yes.
Because they don't.
They don't notice certain things. They're not biologically wired that way.
That's what he tells my husband. Yeah. Tells me that you have to ask me because it doesn't come naturally to make the bed in the morning when I wake up.
My husband will forget to give my son water in the morning, for example. Exactly.
But then my husband will play and, you know, like, so they just have different, and each man has different skills. Sure. Some guys are great at playing. Some guys aren't. Mm-hmm. Some guys are great at earning money. Some guys aren't. You know, just like some moms are great at craft. Some aren't. Some are great at playing, some aren't, you know, it's just like leaning into those.
And
strengths.
I was going to tell you before that nowadays we have a lot of expectations, even because of my own job. Because I meet a lot of people who follow me on Instagram and expect their kids to be like, I show my kids on Instagram, which is not all the time.
Yeah.
I show myself on Instagram for 10 minutes of my day.
A day, exactly. Yeah.
So when I'm at that rage moment, I don't film it.
Of course.
Can you imagine?
This is me losing it.
So people think that that's not who I am or that's not what I do. I don't have a mom rage, but which we all do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except you.
Yeah. No, I do. But like I lost it once with my husband on a podcast. And I'm really like, I'm embarrassed of that podcast episode because I was like super angry. And it was in that first year of parenting.
Yeah. And I think it's navigating also who you are as a mom. And then that rage is, if you think about it, it's, I've lost myself. I don't have time for myself. And I have to look after you. And you're now whinging. And I've given you everything and you're still whinging.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's super
hard. Don't you think that society even expects from us that we go to the gym, look good, we're back to our size 2 months after we gave birth. And that's even stressful.
Yes. And then there's this whole like, nowadays, it's so cool to be an entrepreneur. So it's like, even like, what do you do? Like, kind of, it's like, there's a lot of this.
Out of milk, bread's gone, and the kids are hungry? Don't stress. There's a Dave's just around the corner. Open 24/7. Or skip the trip. Just tap the Dave's app. Tap. They'll deliver straight to your door. No minimum order, speedy delivery, and fresh fruit packed with care. Dave's cares about you.
Can I just take us back to, we spoke a lot about our partners. When we go into mum rage, how much empathy or support do you see from your partner? Or do you turn to maybe your mum or other mum friends or no one at all when you have an episode of mum rage?
Funnily enough, that's when I think about it, when I'm in that mum rage, that's when my husband really gets in. Because he sees me losing it, which is not very often. And then I think he realizes that
he needs to step in
to help me out.
Yeah. Okay. Peter will call me out. He'll be like, like, you're being a bit harsh, you know?
My husband won't call me. I think he knows that when I'm there, nothing is going to. But he will stay quiet and he will be the support the kids need at that point. Mm-hmm. So, which is something I am very grateful for because I hate it when we are both angry. Mm. I hate it. I feel like when we are both angry at them at the same time, and don't get me wrong, we've been angry at them at the same time. But let's focus on mom rage. It's a different level of anger, which can be scary. So I feel like he needs to be their rock at that point. I remember once I lost it so badly. I literally got the car keys, and I said, I'm going out and I'm not coming back until I'm calm.
But that's healthy.
He needed to be the calm one there. Yes. He couldn't.
No, but it's good that
be angry at me at that point.
But it's great that you removed yourself. That's a part of...
But it was after I made everyone cry.
Including myself.
Including the dog and the cat. And it was like after... And then, you know, I was like, okay, I just need to remove myself from this building. And I mean, I've locked myself in the toilet, guys, with a spoonful of peanut butter, crying on the toilet. Just I've when I, it's such a confusing, I feel like everything is just an overstimulation of everything, you know,
yeah.
It's, so when I reach that point, I'm not proud of myself and I need my husband to understand what I need at that point.
Yeah, interesting.
Which I don't always know.
And coming to think of it, have you ever been to the mom rage when your husband isn't there?
Yes,
I have.
Hopefully, I think I never did.
I'm thinking.
I did, because triggers me is not my actually when my husband is there, I don't go into mom rage because my husband can see it coming sometimes before even I can. And he almost, if he could, he'd just grab me, just go, remove me from the situation and just say, I will handle it. The problem is sometimes I am already, like Maria said, there to the point where I'm like, I don't want to remove myself from the situation. I must stand my ground. I must say my point. And actually, that's not healthy for anyone. So
it's a release for us, really.
Yes.
You know, it's the anger is
bent, like,
I mean, when corporal punishment, I'm gonna, not just corporal, when parents used to properly hit their kids, not a simple smack, like it was a release of the anger. Mm. And so when I'm raging, it's at that point, it feels great.
Yes.
Because it's all boom, it's coming out. But
it's not helping.
It gets me nowhere.
But I'm saying this because I think my character, I do it when my husband comes back from work because I think that
you feel supported.
I feel supported and I want to let him know that I'm
it's been
in
a
that
hard
level
day,
of like, I need help.
Yes.
I understand.
So instead of saying, can you step in because I've had a tough day with the kid, you just
after doing that, I ask for help because I tell him, I've had enough, I'm building too much, you need to come in. So I think in my mind that's why I do it when he's there.
I see a pattern in me when Peter comes home. Sometimes I sort of like complain a little, you know, I sort of be a bit like, oh yeah. Sort of, so I get what you're saying. It's like that support. And sometimes I think when I'm alone, I'm very much like, you have to be like, you know, get it right or something.
But that's so good because you can manage. I feel like when I'm alone, I think I'm all over the place hormonally and emotionally and I lose it. But when my husband's there, it's almost I know there is a backup and I can eliminate myself from that. And maybe because my kids are still young, I can't really eliminate myself from my 15-month-old. So I have to stay there no matter how much he whinges.
Yes.
But it is true. But then from a support perspective, do you get the empathy from your husband or do you get the... You didn't really need to shout. That was a bit too harsh.
Well, it always depends on his mood as well.
When I don't get the empathy, it leads to another fight. I mean, you know, because then you're angry and you kind of, listen, you came in when I was losing it, but there were 4 hours before that where I wasn't losing it.
And
I was trying to explain when I was...
When I was doing a great job.
When I was doing a great job.
Yeah.
You know, and... which is rare, but you know,
I think we do a great job a lot of the time.
Sometimes I'm like, yes, I lost it, but I asked them patiently 5 times, you know, why do I have to? And unfortunately, I am not, because it also boils down to character as well.
Mm-hmm. But don't you think that, for example, when I'm alone with my son, there's not another person, which is my husband, telling him the exact same thing that I'm telling him, not to do it again. Mm. So when you have someone telling him the same thing and he's not listening, so I'm getting the comfort that my husband is agreeing
page,
on my argument.
Like it's not just you. Like
So then that's when I...
You feel supported. Yes.
No, it's so important. But they don't... My husband doesn't always agree with me. Mm. He doesn't... always say he never agrees with me when I lose it to that point, and I don't think he should,
of course,
agree with me. But he doesn't always understand why I go to that place, and yes, I mean that's I kind of have to explain it to him. And as I'm saying, you know, I'd be like, Emma, you know how many times I said it. You know, how much more can I take? Literally, I'd be like, but I'm human, you know.
But maybe your husband has a character that maybe he's very patient.
He is very patient.
Because my husband is not patient at all. So he understands when I lose it. Mm-hmm. And see, he says, how come you don't lose it much often than you do? Because he's not patient.
No, then my husband is very patient. So
that's why
he can. But thank God that he is like that, you know, because at least we balance each other out.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's so many different factors. That's always what I say. Because even me as a character, I'm much more passionate. Even when I fight, I'm passionate. Even when I'm arguing about something in a very friendly way. my kids say, but why are you getting angry? Just, this is how
same,
I speak, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Archie's seen us argue, me and my husband, and he'll come and, why are you arguing? And I tell him, fighting's a part of love. Like,
yeah, I think it's healthy as well. Because if your child is seeing you always being the perfect couple, it's not
unrealistic.
Really.
No. Exactly.
They need to see how how to express anger, how to set boundaries, all of this stuff. It's hard. I think parenting is hard.
And it doesn't come with a manual.
And sometimes I am raging at something else. It happened recently where I... my daughter told me that something happened to her and I got so angry. Mm. Not at her.
No, at what happened.
At what happened. That I screamed at her. I screamed at her. And my husband was next to me and I was like, why are you screaming at her? Like, she did nothing wrong. Mm. But I was so angry at what happened to her and how she reacted, which was not the way I wanted her to react. Again, expectations.
Okay. Gotcha.
That I was like, why didn't you listen? Why did you? When she needed me to be supportive, and so I was failing miserably at that point. And my husband was like, why are you shouting at her? Like, she kind of, and then obviously it led to weeping, and then I wept as well. And then it's just, I don't know how it works in your households. With us, when we all cry is when we kind of
calm,
start to heal,
listen to each other.
Yes,
that is
beautiful.
In fact, that's what I was going to say, that when we have this mom rage, you feel relieved. So after that, we can talk about it and we can discuss it and we're fine.
So
I think it's healthy as
And actually, this takes me to
next
super healthy.
Yeah,
super healthy. It's just about how you navigate it. Think about Mother Teresa. Right? Mother Teresa is known as like this super good human being who did so much positive work. Mm-hmm. You think she never felt anger? Like, to do work like that, to go and advocate for the people who couldn't advocate for themselves. You have to be so upset with the status quo, you know, to go and live in slums with people. That's passion. You don't do it because you're chill. You do it because you're angry.
Somehow I can't see. It's just... Mother Teresa having an episode of Mom Rage. It's just
my grandmother knew Mother Teresa because they did some work together.
Okay.
So, and I asked her, I said, like, was Mother Teresa like peaceful? Like, and she told me, she was peaceful, but she used to get super angry. So, you know, like, anger is not bad. Anger is super healthy. It's just about what you do with it. Yeah. And I like the way that you repair with your kids. Like, you know, the way that you explain. And even you said this earlier, you know, like, I explain why I was angry, what happened. You know, that's really important. Kids need context. You know, they need to understand why things are happening.
I do feel, though, I still feel guilty about it because I repeat it. Mm. You know, just like when my daughter does something and I say, and she tells me, I'm sorry. And then she does it again and she tells me, I'm sorry. And I tell her, well, you can't keep telling me you're sorry and not change what you're doing. So when I have an episode when I lose it and I apologize, in my head, I'm going, oh, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, kind of, because then when it happens again is why I feel guilty. Because I say, I am again.
I had an experience way before kids. When early on in my relationship with my husband, we're having a big argument and I got so angry. And my husband has like not one aftershave. He has like several all lined up. And I remember I went and I just...
did this and I threw them all, like just boom, and it felt so empowering. So like,
if only you had a camera.
I was like, yeah. But I was so lucky because I've had so many incredible mentors who have called me out on my shit, like, and who have told me, like, you know, where did it lead you? Yeah. You know, and I've also like I, you know, growing up in my family system, I was very much like the empath, like we were speaking about before the podcast. So I would pick up on people's emotions and feel very responsible and everything, and really do my best to take care of people, not meeting my own needs. So every so often I would explode. And then, you know, you're the bad guy. So I, through many ouches and a lot of ouch, I've learned that it really doesn't serve me to explode. Does it mean I'm never going to explode again? No, I probably will at some point, maybe when I have my second child and I'm sleep deprived and I'm like, you know, and the balance is off again and I'm like, Peter! Like, you know? So, you know, but it's a course corrector, you know, it's going to help me to understand, you know, and I have a responsibility, I feel, as an adult to... I like to protect kids, not overprotect that they don't understand, but to like not dump on them. So, so, but I consider myself very fortunate that I've had very, very good mentors, and I continue to invest in mentorship because I want to do the best I can.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
I feel that when you do it very often with children, I think they'll do the same. So if you're shouting for nothing all the time, he's gonna shout.
Yeah.
So
they mirror us.
And that's the guilt that comes in, right? Because then when they shout back at you, you can't really say anything because that's what you've shown them.
Yeah.
But I just want to, because conscious we've kind of been speaking about, but I also want to think about the people watching or listening and thinking, oh my God, I finally feel seen. Someone else has felt this. The good thing I think about mum rage in this day and age is repair. So we've spoken a lot about repair. But I remember back in the day, if my mum yelled at me, I would probably get sent to my room. I would get a punishment. And that's the end of. You wake up the next morning, it's as though nothing happened. Whereas this time... we're lucky enough that through the constant barrage of what social media is on, we also understand the importance of repair.
Yes.
And so I want to kind of normalize this for mums. We're not ruining our kids. We're not traumatizing them for life when we do lose it.
So long as we are repairing.
So long as we are repairing.
If we're not repairing, then no, there's going to be damage.
What does repair look like to you? When you have an episode of mum guilt, wrong show. Mum rage. Mum rage, which then leads to mum guilt. What does repair look like to you? And how do you and your children feel after it?
I mean, in my case, I tell them, I say, I need time. As in, listen, I don't lose it and go apologize straight away. I know I'm going to apologize for the extent of anger but I need my time to figure myself out as well. But I think what helps me is I show them that I am flawed.
Yeah.
I am not perfect. And I tell them that. I say, listen, I'm trying my best to be the best mommy I can to you, but I made a mistake today. And I think that makes me human.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To them.
Yes.
And I think it helps them to forgive me.
Yes, and it teaches them how to own their own stuff as well.
I think you mentioned generational and all of that, and I think that's also the difference. As much as our parents loved us and did it out of nothing but love, I don't think we were apologized to that much.
No,
because maybe
of course
that
not.
Meant that they're going to give us the power. Whereas I think... it doesn't do that in my experience. It does not do that. It made me very scared of my mother, which is something I did not want my kids to be, which is something that happens when I lose it, mm-hmm. which is why I hate it.
Yeah.
But then that is why I make it a point to say, listen, I failed today. I failed. Mm-hmm. There is no other way to say it. You know, I was right to get angry, but I made a huge mistake because I took it out on you today. I was angry about Papa, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think that just makes it a bit easier for them to understand that, mommy doesn't have it all figured out.
I think the most beautiful thing about this is that they understand emotions as well.
Exactly.
And they understand that you can communicate emotions and
yes.
talk about what you feel.
Yes. And you have to also be fair to them, I think, because sometimes they do apologize to me and I say, you know what?
You don't need
I don't feel like at the moment. I'm so angry. Mm-hmm. Which is unfair to them, mm-hmm. obviously, but
it's real.
It's real. Well.
I would much rather, to be honest, I really like your approach. I would way rather there's realness than there's fakeness. Mm-hmm. No, because that is so confusing for a kid. If you're like, yes, darling, like, but inside you're like,
I will like, resent them then, because it will go into, that is the way I am. But so sometimes when I do apologize, they do tell me, like, I don't want your apology. And then I feel that my duty there is, since I have failed to control my emotions, because also rage, I think, is a lack of control. I don't know.
Yes.
I tell them, okay, just know that when you want to accept my apology, I am here to repeat it. So I have to be fair to them and say, okay, you don't want my apology just yet. Because, I mean, you know, when I've had a fight with my husband and he pisses me off and he comes to make amends and I'm still not okay, I don't welcome him with open arms, mm-hmm. and say, come my darling, let's, you know,
yeah, of course,
cook together.
And, and your relationship with your kids is a real relationship. There's going to be all of these feelings. And something that's really I had helped me when I learned this was that the relationships you share with the people who are most intimate to you, so your husband, your kids, so on and so forth, are the most ambivalent relationships. They're the ones you're going to experience the most ambivalent feelings towards, love and hate, wanting and pushing away. Like, there's disgust is a part of it. Like, you're going to experience all of these things. And it's
when you were saying before that you had these rages before,
yeah,
when you were younger, I thought about it. And I honestly never had them. Since I had my child,
okay,
I never had that sort of rage where, and I thought about it and said, maybe that's because I'm very confident with the, I don't know, I'm just asking you again.
I also think motherhood is a very overstimulating experience.
Oh my
experience.
God, yes.
More so than any other status in your life.
It
you become a
be,
wife,
yeah.
your life changes,
it's
not really.
It's different.
You graduate or you become something in your profession.
There's a stressful change, yeah. but yes, it's not
but
like...
But you are needed yeah. all the time as a mother. Exactly. Yes. So I think that's it. You are...
And it changes frequently.
On demand.
Yes.
And it's
not
scary.
You haven't figured it out
no,
forever. Like
no.
in a couple yes. of years' time, you're going to have to change because...
And I think one of the most stressful things about motherhood is it's so scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden, you're concerned about your survival, the survival of this kid's thoughts that go through your head that never went through your head
course,
in the past.
Yes. And you don't always know what to do. In my case, I've sat at the kitchen table and cried and told my husband, like, I have no idea how to tackle this.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of loss at
yeah.
what to do.
It continues for our lives.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
now when I'm seeing my mom and she has a lot of friends that are dealing with separation from their children, their kids getting pregnant really young. So it never stops.
Mm. I think what we also have to give ourselves grace with is, you know, we've got the responsibility of raising other human beings, and I think that's a lot on our shoulders. You know, I don't want to raise my son to be a dick. I want to raise him to be a respectful man, especially to women, and you know, when he grows up. But we are also doing this for the first time ourselves. We've never been mothers before.
Yeah.
I've never, you know, I now have two experiences of mothering a newborn, but oh my God, good luck you. You're going to be parenting teenagers very soon. That's that's going to be navigating something new.
A few months ago, I was sitting on my sofa and I told my husband, I just realized that at a point in our lives, we are going to be living with three women, myself and two girls,
and
who are all hormonal at the same time.
That will trigger anger, for sure. Because then they challenge you and they are going through
their own rage. And you were mentioning it's overstimulating. I mean, there are times when I tell my kids, and I know it sounds really hurtful, but I tell them, please give me space. Because they want to spend time with me. But I've been touched and asked questions all day, and I want to drink my bloody coffee on my own,
Yeah.
And we have quite a big sofa, but they would sit, and I'd be like, just scooch for a second. And they get really hurt, but I want to spend time with you. And I'll be like, I just need to not be touched for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm a person who loves noise,
Yes.
So, and I've come, maybe it's age, but I've come to sometimes the point where there's always music in my life, but I've come to certain moments of the day where I say, can you please
turn it off. I never switch on the radio in the car.
That silence.
I mean, I sometimes would rather burn the house than add the extractor fan on because I can't handle more noise.
Oh my God, I'm the same. Noise really, really gets to me. My husband doesn't get it, but it really gets to me.
My son's phone repeating the same music doesn't bugs me.
Because you tune it out.
Yeah. Because you get used to it. This happened to me this weekend, with friends,
and they were saying, you're hearing my daughter shouting. And I was like, I am hearing
nothing.
It's like became...
Background noise.
Background. It's like not even noise. I wasn't even factoring it in.
Set it out.
So, yeah. I don't know, it's so weird. Motherhood is weird.
But I think how you spoke about it being a build-up. Mm-hmm. I think it's just about kind of like tuning into these, whoa, I'm really feeling dysregulated, and it's all about kind of like, okay, what do I need to do to help myself to regulate, to feel like 3% better, not 100%, but just 3%, and the way you say like, okay, I remove myself or, my husband's here so I can kind of like, he can step in a bit more. Let's turn off that extractor fan, like forget it, kind of those little things really make a difference.
Yeah. I'm going to close off the show because we could be talking here for hours with a question I like to ask to all the guests. And that is, in your experience as a mum, what's the best piece of advice you've either ever received or if you could now from your experience give on? What would that be? And what's the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
Wow.
I know. I never like to tell the guests that I'm going to ask this question, although now it's going, if people watch the show, they're going to know what the question is. But I like to ask it because I know as when you become a mum, advice is literally unsolicited advice comes at you from everywhere. And so what have you picked out to be best and the worst?
Well, I think there isn't really something because there are so many things really, but I think my best advice I would give is to spend the most time with them as much as you can because they grow up so quickly and they are so special.
Oh my God, yes.
And this is so short. Their time being kids is so short. We are kids for a very short time. So I would say that my advice would be to really enjoy their childhood and not let them be on their phones all the time and on their screens because you want to be quiet or alone. Mm. Just enjoy the time with them.
Mm-hmm. And the worst?
And the worst... Can I say it after this?
So you can have a little think.
Best and then the best. Me. I think best advice that works for me, obviously,
yes.
Is be kind to yourself as a mother. Mm. I've learned, and I keep trying because I sometimes don't do it, but I've learned to tell myself, listen, you are doing your best, and you know, you need to be kind to yourself and say, today I failed. Mm. Tomorrow I'll try again.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think that's it. Be graceful with yourself. I kind of treat yourself how you would treat another mother if she came to you.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't tell her you're an asshole. You know, I would say, like, listen, you're really tired. You're really going through a lot.
Yeah.
Give yourself a break. So I think the best advice is to train your inner voice.
Yes.
For me, to be kind to you.
100%. My therapist once, before I became a mother, it's not really advice, but I remember being like, oh, like kind of, I can't imagine like wanting to work less. I was so work obsessed. And she told me like, listen, you might change. And at that point, I was like, no, I am not changing. And I think for me, like, it's kind of, if I were to translate that into advice, it's like be open to the journey.
Yeah.
Because you discover new things about yourself. I've really changed. Like, I've changed a lot, and I really like the change a lot. And in the same way that, like, yeah, I might go through another period where I do experience more rage, and that's okay too. Like, bring in that kindness and we'll navigate it, you know, and I'll understand what boundaries I need to put down and how I can redesign a little, you know.
Yeah.
Just be open to the journey, how it's unfolding for you. I think that we feel so much that life needs to go a certain way, you know, and like we're on a journey and it's okay, like, to see how it unfolds.
Totally.
Any worst tips you've received?
I think I thought about it, and I think the worst message I got from my socials, because obviously my work, was that I wanted a girl.
Ah.
No.
I have a boy, and now I'm doing everything to, like, let him play, not let him, make him play with girl toys just because I wanted a girl.
And you didn't get rage at that?
I did, but very politely, because I try to be very...
Oh my God.
That was the worst. And I think the worst part of motherhood is when we pinpoint, and she doesn't know our situation, and you just judge.
Judgment.
Yeah.
And that's it, because she doesn't know you. Because I've had friends I trust tell me, you know, calm down. But because I know it's coming from a
positive
space where they're seeing it from a different perspective, and they're telling me, you know what, you need to let this go now.
But you trust that they see the goodness in you.
Yes, that's why. Yeah. If she was being judged by someone
who doesn't know,
then it's different. When I want my friend to call me out when I'm crossing a line, and
for
say,
sure.
You know what,
but I think judgment is something that really needs to stop when it comes to motherhood.
For sure. And in the role that you're in, you get it a lot.
Of course.
Because it's so out of context, on Instagram, that people see a snippet and they judge. Like.
That's why I now try to put a line where I should tell stuff about my son. Because you get judged, my son gets judged.
Exactly, and you want to protect him from it.
I want to tell stories that people relate to.
Yes.
But then there's his feelings, then there's his emotions, then there's him going to school and people know stuff that they shouldn't.
Yeah,
I think,
I feel you.
I think the best part of you, and the reason you're probably sitting at this table, is because you have normalized a lot of things that moms don't always feel open talking about, you know, how sometimes you worry that your neighbors might hear you yelling at your kid and judge you. You've spoken about that. And for that, I am grateful, because I have felt better and normalized because of you. But equally, there's the flip side of that coin where people judge you for being that honest. And so you need to protect you and your child and as to how much you show. Emma?
I can't say I've received any bad advice, in all honesty. Like, there's nothing that's like sticking out to me. But just to tie up this thing of judgment, what
you know, the people who judge the most harshly are the ones who are judging themselves the most harshly. And that is something that helps me to, not that it doesn't hurt when I feel judged, because I obviously I don't like it as much as anyone else and it hurts. But it definitely helps me to unhook myself from their judgment. Like kind of, yeah, I see that you're throwing that anger at me because you're dealing with some shit right now. So I leave it with you.
With me, I mean, again, it's not advice. It's more like a mentality that maybe was when I had kids and I was told I've dedicated my life to my kids now. That's all. Mm. It's, you know, my life is my kids. And I could not, and I don't think I ever will relate to that, because I have always said, my sole purpose is not just kids. To be a mother. Mm-hmm. It's a huge chunk of my life, which I love and I give a lot of attention to, but I am also my own person. And I think for me, again, this is something that works for me, because there might be people who disagree and that is fine. But what works for me and my family is where I am my own person working to reach my own potential. And I am a better person for that because I feel fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I find I can be a better parent
from that point.
Excellent. And on that note, without the mum rage, thank you so much, ladies, for just being honest and true. And I just hope that at least one other mother who has probably had a meltdown today with her child has felt seen and normalized. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done.